This is Jui from South Korea. You're listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 94 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and I have another good episode for you today. We're going to talk about grammar and vocabulary and small talk and a lot more. You can subscribe to the Everybody ESL podcast at Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like Everybody ESL, leave it a good review so other people can find out about it too. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. Yesterday, I had a long dentist appointment. I was sitting in the dentist's chair for more than an hour and a half, more than 90 minutes. And that gave me some time to think about some good dentist-related vocabulary. So that is going to be the theme for this episode's vocabulary list. The first word on our list is dental, D-E-N-T-A-L. Well, this word looks a lot like dentist, but it is an adjective that means related to teeth or related to dentists. And the next word is cavity, C-A-V-I-T-Y. A cavity is a small hole. It could be a small hole in anything, but we often use the word cavity to mean a small hole that can develop in a tooth. If a tooth is unhealthy, if it starts to decay or rot, if part of it starts to wear down, a little hole, a cavity, can form. And that brings us right to the third word, which is filling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G. If you have one of those little holes, one of those cavities in a tooth, the dentist can put in a filling. In other words, the dentist can fill that little cavity in your tooth with special stuff that can keep your tooth from getting any worse. It can fill up the hole and stop the problem. Well, what is one way that you can prevent problems like that in your teeth? It is by using floss, F-L-O-S-S. We also call this dental floss. Floss is a ribbon or a string that you use to clean your teeth. You use to clean the spaces between and around your teeth. Floss is a noun, and it's also a verb. So I can say, remember, you should floss every day with floss. I can use it as a verb and as a noun. How about this word, molar, M-O-L-A-R. Do you know what a molar is? A molar is a kind of tooth. Your molars are those big, flat teeth in the back of your mouth. Molars are teeth that are used for mashing and grinding food. Sometimes, if people have teeth that are not very straight, they can get braces put on their teeth. Braces is B-R-A-C-E-S. Now, braces can mean really anything that supports something else. But we often use braces to mean that little piece of equipment that an orthodontist can make and fit into somebody's mouth to help straighten their teeth. And after people have braces, after they have these things attached to their teeth and then removed from their teeth, after the braces have done their job, people often have to wear a retainer, R-E-T-A-I-N-E-R. Well, do you know the word retain? To retain means to keep. So you wear a retainer so that your teeth will keep their shape, or so that your teeth will keep their new straight positions. And the last word on this episode's vocabulary list is numb. N-U-M-B. Numb. To be numb means to feel nothing. And yesterday, when I was at the dentist, they made my jaw and my mouth on one side all numb. They gave me an injection, or two or three injections, I think, so that that part of my mouth was numb. I couldn't feel it as they were doing all of those horrible things to my teeth. And if you weren't sure about it, the B in the word numb is completely silent. We never say it, but we have to spell it. N-U-M-B. But it's just pronounced numb. All right, well, those are our dentist-related vocabulary words for this week. Today's grammar topic is the construction that we can call the let construction, because it involves the word let, L-E-T. This is the construction you see in a sentence like, "Yes, I will let you borrow my car," or "I can't go out because my parents won't let me." What does it mean to let someone do something? It means to allow someone to do something. If you let someone borrow your car, that means you allow them to borrow your car, or you give permission for them to borrow your car. Now, you will hear this construction used very often. It is very common. For instance, if somebody says to a friend, "What do you think I should do this weekend?" And the friend says, "Let me think about that." Well, they are using that let construction. When they say, "Let me think about that," what they're saying is, "Give me permission to think about it," or "Give me a few moments so that I can think about it. Make it easy for me to think about it. Make it possible for me to think about it. What should I do this weekend? Let me think about that. I think it would be good if you went on a hike." So, in that case, the friend asked for permission to think about the answer. The friend asked for permission to think about the situation. This is a very common construction. Here are some other examples of sentences that use this let construction. "You are all being very noisy. Can't you just let me read my book in peace?" In other words, "You're being so noisy, but I want you to allow me to read my book in peace. I want you to give me permission to read my book without all of this noise. I want you to make it possible for me to read my book without all of your noise." Or, "When I was a kid, my parents would never let me go exploring in the woods." When I was a kid, my parents would never let me go exploring in the woods. They would not allow me to go exploring in the woods. They did not give me permission. They did not make it possible for me to go exploring in the woods. Here's one more example. "Because it was Friday and she was feeling very tired, the professor let her students leave class early." The professor let her students leave class early. The professor allowed the students to leave class early. The professor gave permission for the students to leave early. She said it was okay for them to leave early. Well, that is the let construction. And I think it would be a good idea for you to make a whole bunch of sentences that use this construction. I think you should practice it, because it is a very useful construction and it's very common. For this episode's small talk topic, or social situation, I want to teach you three good ways to ask for help. I'm going to teach you the most basic way first, and then I'm going to teach you ways that are even more polite. Let's start with the basic way to ask for help. It is very simple. All you need to do is say, "Can you help me?" And then fill in what you need help with. Can you help me get that book off of the shelf? Can you help me lift this box? Can you help me make lunch today? You can fill in anything after that beginning. Can you help me do something? Anything will fit in there. This next way is a little bit more polite, and it goes like this. Could you help me? And again, you can fill in anything you want there. Could you help me get that book off of the shelf? Could you help me lift this box? Could you help me make lunch today? If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, or if you've been studying English for a while, you will know that the word could is often used to make sentences sound more polite. Could is often used in polite requests. Now, the next way you can ask for help is even more polite than the construction that uses could. It uses another word that is used for making polite requests, and that word is would, W-O-U-L-D. And that gives us requests like, would you be able to? Would you be able to? Would you be able to help me get the book off of that shelf? Would you be able to help me lift this box? Would you be able to help me make lunch today? This construction sounds even more polite. So the most basic one is, can you help me do something? A little bit more polite is, could you help me do something? And the most polite is, would you be able to help me do something? This is just the way English works. We have these special words and special constructions that just sound more polite. Now, don't forget, when you start a conversation, especially with a stranger, you should always say something like, excuse me, at the beginning. So if we add that, these requests for help would sound like this. Excuse me, can you help me get that book off of the shelf? Excuse me, could you help me lift this box? Excuse me, would you be able to help me make lunch? Now, I'm not sure why you would be asking a stranger to help you make lunch, but still, that is what that sentence would sound like if you used excuse me at the beginning, and then that most polite request form, would you be able to help me? Well, now that I have taught you or reminded you about those different ways of asking for help, you can go out into the world and ask for all kinds of help with confidence, knowing that you will be very polite and that everyone will understand exactly what you are asking. And now it's time for the joke of the week. Well, it's actually been a little bit longer than 1 week, but you know, I still call it the joke of the week. Well, this is this week's joke. How do oceans say hello to each other? How do oceans say hello to each other? Let's not think about this one too long. This one is kind of a simple joke. How do oceans say hello to each other? They wave. They wave. Do you understand why this is a joke? Well, it's because wave means two very different things. One meaning of wave is a certain formation or shape of water. And the other meaning is the gesture that you make to somebody when you are saying hello or goodbye. So how do oceans say hello to each other? They wave. It's time for the listening quiz, and here's how that works. I have 5 sentences here, and I'm going to read each one 2 times pretty quickly. I'm going to read them at a normal conversational speed, and it might be difficult for you to understand every word that I'm saying, but that's okay. You can go back and listen to them as many times as you like, and when you're ready to move on, you will hear me read each sentence again much more slowly. And when I read the sentences more slowly, it will be much easier for you to understand every word. And I will make sure to explain any interesting or unusual grammar or vocabulary. Okay, let's get started with Sentence number one. The boy is having a bad day because he had to get two fillings. The boy is having a bad day because he had to get two fillings. Sentence number two. When are you going to let me see your new car? When are you going to let me see your new car? Sentence number three. I waved at my dentist, but I don't think she saw me. I waved at my dentist, but I don't think she saw me. Sentence number four. Would you be able to drive me to the airport at midnight? Would you be able to drive me to the airport at midnight? And sentence number five. He was so frightened that he was numb all over. He was so frightened that he was numb all over. Okay, well, how was that? Was it difficult to understand every word when I said those sentences at that quick conversational speed? If so, I think they will be much easier to understand now when I read them much more slowly. Sentence number one. The boy is having a bad day because he had to get two fillings. The boy is having a bad day because he had to get two fillings. He must have been at the dentist, and he must have had cavities because the dentist had to fill two cavities. The boy is having a bad day because he had to get two fillings. Sentence number two. When are you going to let me see your new car? When are you going to let me see your new car? This is a sentence that uses that let construction that we talked about earlier in the episode. Sentence number three. I waved at my dentist, but I don't think she saw me. I waved at my dentist, but I don't think she saw me. Sentence number four. Would you be able to drive me to the airport at midnight? Would you be able to drive me to the airport at midnight? This is a sentence that uses that very polite request construction. Would you be able to? And sentence number five. He was so frightened that he was numb all over. He was so frightened that he was numb all over. Now, frightened here is frightened. He was so frightened that he was numb all over. Now, do you know what all over means in this sentence? In this sentence, all over means in his whole body, all over his body, covering his body, or within his entire body. From his head to his feet, he was numb. He was so frightened that he couldn't feel anything. That sounds pretty frightened. Well, that is our listening quiz for this episode. How did you do? And that is the end of episode 94 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions about English, or if you have comments or suggestions about the podcast, or if you would like to record an introduction that I can use at the beginning of future episodes, the same way Jui recorded the introduction that you heard at the beginning of this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep learning, and keep practicing. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.